On today's episode of Surfing the Quicksand, we're going to talk about choices and intentionality and the idea of taking some risks that help create space in your life for things that maybe you've been dreaming about or possibly thought, I'd love to do that someday, but I could never make that happen. I'm going to be talking with a friend who did make it happen with some big choices and sacrifices along the way, and how she's been living with those choices ever since. In the meantime, she's also a productivity coach and she's teaching other people how to make space for their choices and their priorities in life. I'm Kathy Vines, and this is Surfing the Quicksand. My podcast is all about helping midlife women get unstuck. And sometimes getting stuck is the natural consequence of choices we've made along the way, even when maybe we didn't feel like we had much of a choice in the path that we took. But part of what I'm so committed to doing with you is the idea of making sure we're aware of just the ways in which we are stuck and when right, that we can explore pathways to get beyond that and live a little differently. My guest today is another one of my frolleagues, friend plus colleague, from the National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals. She is a productivity coach, and she has a really interesting life story that feeds into her principles and her messages that she brings to working with her coaching clients. I think of her as maybe the only person I know in my life who is a full-time RV liver. So she and her partner and her golden retriever, several years before the pandemic, decided to let go of their sticks and bricks life in Minnesota and go on the road for their full-time life. So this is a big journey in intentional decisions and a daily practice of living differently with the idea of bringing priorities fully to the plate. My friend Amy Olson is my guest today. Welcome, Amy.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you.
I am so happy to have you here and talk about this because I do believe, like a lot of people, you have stepped into a very different way of living your life through choices and intentionality, and recognizing maybe where you were stuck and maybe where you had some options or could take a leap. And so I know we're going to talk about this a bit, but I want to talk first about you and your business, Life Done Simply. As a productivity coach, you've been working with people for years, and I want to understand first your take on what's been going on over the last several years, pre-pandemic, mid-pandemic, and post-pandemic, that you've been seeing informs how people are thinking about productivity and how they're living their life.
Yeah. Well, pre-pandemic, I think what I felt was a lot of people were stuck, right? So they reach out to an organizer or a productivity coach to get unstuck. When the pandemic hit, it was terrible for a lot of people, but what I loved about it is it kind of untethered some people in their thinking. Physically, it untethered them from their workplace, from school, from their activities. But also in their thinking. And suddenly, that oh, I could never do that thing you're doing, right? I could never live in an RV or I could never travel full time or, we have things we need to worry about. The pandemic untethered people and people started to think really creatively, like, oh, there is a lot more to life than this box that I've put myself in, right? Post-pandemic, what I'm seeing is a lot of people, with my clients and friends and family, kind of go back into that box, that comfort where, they've got their work, they've got their children's activities, they've got their own activities, and they're back in the same kind of four walls. And they've lost a little bit of that creative spark, that idea of, ooh, how can my life be different or how could it be more than what I'm being sold and what I'm being told it could be? So I've seen this evolution. of when I moved into the RV in 2018, and I was hearing a lot of my clients say, "Oh, well, good for you." but I can't, right? For a myriad of reasons. To, "Oh my gosh, that's so aspirational. And you know what? We're going to try something different ourselves." And now, kind of back into the pre-pandemic idea of, "Ooh, that's a little scary. I'm not sure that's for me, but I might be open to hearing more." Right? I might be open to being inspired, but I like to be comfortable.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'll say in my career coaching business, it's probably where I've seen more of that same, that creativity and let me try something different, right? So some of that was driven in the pandemic by people having lost their job, right? Whether it was because their job was an in-person job and that ended and they couldn't go back to an in-person world, or there were layoffs, lots of things went on. And it was a time where people started to embrace a little bit of, oh, is now the time I've always thought about, I've always dreamed about. There's the barriers that have been in place, both literally or in my mind, are kind of weakening a little bit. Maybe it's time for me to try a little bravery. Maybe it's time for me to try something new. And the other thing, I think, pure speculation, I have no science on this, but I think during the pandemic, we were really a lot of people facing with, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, tomorrow's not guaranteed. If I'm not going to try it now, when will I try it? Right? There was a little bit of that air around risk-taking with some of the things that we questioned or never questioned held us back.
Yeah. I also wonder if it's not a little generational with Gen X specifically. Because I'll tell you, when Ben and I hit the road, we were watching our friends and our family start to raise kids, and they just were living a much different life than what we saw for ourselves. So we decided to do this crazy thing. But what was really interesting is our parents and our grandparents and other people we knew of an older generation looked at us and said, "Good for you." So many people wait for the perfect time. So many people wait for retirement. So many people just don't think they can do it. And they were really happy for us. They thought, "Yes, you, this is what we see from our experience, that you shouldn't wait." And that was so interesting because, of course, we're thinking they're going to look at us and go, "Oh, you're bananas
Yeah,
for wanting to sell everything and do this off the wall idea." And so that to me was really interesting because I thought, okay, they're coming at this with more time on this planet, more wisdom, more experiences, and they understand the concept of you don't want to look back and regret that you didn't try something.
no, it's really interesting. And I also thought that's where you were going, which was, oh, these older generations were going to say, you can't pick up, you've got things to do. And it sounds like you got the complete opposite response.
Yeah.
And I think about that, right? My parents, and this goes back a couple of decades, we lost a very close friend of the family at a young age. He died suddenly. And it really was a wake-up call for my parents of like, what are we waiting for? This could happen at any moment to us. And my parents are kind of tail end silent generation, right? And this other couple were kind of boomers, but still at that age, right? But this was, they were in their 50s and 60s at that point in time, right? So still pretty young. But for them to say, we've seen too many people wait too long to live their lives. What are we waiting for? And so for them to see you and cheer you on for not having to go through those same cycles is really kind of great.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have supportive family that understood that the both of us were not going to be living the life that so many people do. But there's something about the both of us, but me more than Ben, that has always kind of ditched the status quo, whether it was when I was really young or when I was in high school, even when it came time to, are you going to go to college? And it was just, I'm not going to do something just because everyone else is doing it. And so that part of me is just innate. It's in here. It's a value of mine. And so that really has helped me move through life. I don't want to say effortlessly, but really confident in my decisions. But it's always great when you get the support of friends and family who say, no, you're great. It's gonna be fine. What's there to
So
lose?
let's talk about this a little bit about your decision. It's not an overnight thing, right? So tell me about how you guys came to entertain the idea, what it was like to facilitate a transition like this. I want to start with the launch, and then I want to talk about, okay, so it's been 7 years. How's that going? Right. So start with how you got there.
So it starts way back in 2014, before I have Life Done Simply. I'm in an entirely different career. I have upwards to 75, 100 employees. I'm in the construction world. And I realized that that's the grind I don't want to be in anymore. However, like so many people in a career that produces quite well, is well, I can't leave it, right? This is my livelihood. This is my income. And it was those conversations of, do I really want to be miserable every day just so I can bring home a paycheck that is the status quo? Or can I look at my life more intentionally? And that's when I discovered minimalism and I started going through my home very methodically, starting with, this is so typical, the closet, right? My clothes closet, and going, okay, look at all these decisions I've made. Are all these things worth trading hours at a job that I'm miserable at? Right. And that snowballs over the course of a couple of years. I sell my company. I get out of that. I get into organizing and productivity. And that just catapults my minimalism, right? Working with clients, seeing the clutter that everyone's bringing into their lives every day, the decisions they're making at work, right? With their time, not just their stuff. And I realize, oh my gosh, it is so easy for someone to get on that rat wheel. I don't want to live like that. So how can I be ultra intentional with all my decisions? And I was listening to a podcast, and this is 2017. So, right? This is early in podcast world. And there was this couple younger than myself who were living on the road in an RV, and their podcast was called The RV Entrepreneur. And I realized, oh my gosh, there's a whole other subculture out there that I don't understand that has really ditched the status quo. They're living their life freely. They haven't completely disconnected from society, right? They're still part of society, but there's another option. And so I bounced that idea off of my partner, Ben, and him being a little bit more risk averse said, oh, I don't know. And I said, well, we'll never have to do Minnesota winter again. And he said, okay,
Sign me up.
sign me
That's
up. Let's try it. But okay, so now I've been a minimalist for a few years. We're living in, at this point, 900 square feet. And I said, okay, we need to downsize or we need to right size to something smaller to see if we can actually do this. So we go down to 500 square feet. Now, this is after both of us have professional lives. We've done all the accumulation that someone in our position would be doing. We have multiple vehicles, multiple bedrooms. We entertain all of that. So we start to shed those layers. And it's relatively easy when you have something on the horizon as adventurous as we're going to move into an RV and we're going to travel full time. But there's a moment right before we're about to leave the 500 square foot apartment for the 180 square foot RV. And there's a panic that comes over me. We've sold a lot of our things, but we still have a lot. And there's a moment, and Ben actually captured this in a photo, where I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I don't know if we can do it, right? Like this is strange. How am I going to run a business from the road? Are you going to be able to work remotely? At this point, we didn't know for sure if, this is pre-pandemic. This is a kind of a rare occurrence. And we just decide we're going to give it a year. And what's the worst that could happen? If the worst thing happened, we always move back home. We have the support of friends and family. We can always pick back up. We moved into the RV in September 2018, and honestly, we never looked back. There's not one thing from our previous life that we miss in terms of physical item. And honestly, we don't even miss the grind of having a bigger home to take care of and all of the things that kind of keep you stuck. The things you might sign up for your time and all of that. Because when we're living in this space, our relationship, all issues come to the surface quickly. Clutter, physical clutter comes to the surface quickly. When we make a poor decision about our time or our professional life, that comes to the surface really quickly. So I will say that over the course of 2014 to today, it has been just a slow peeling back of layers that I don't want to say gets easier, but it's just all at the surface. We see it for what it is. And so we've never looked back. We just started our seventh year on the road again this fall. And I mean, we're happy to be out here. We're truly content.
I love that you're able to kind of capture those inflection points of the decisions and the action during that journey, and those especially those first 3, 4 years. And I first listen, there are going to be some people who will say minimalism is the most foreign language they could ever even imagine, right? Like, oh, all it takes to be happy is to get rid of all of my things. And minimalism for people who may, have heard the term or they don't quite know a lot about it. It isn't just get rid of all your things, right? It's about living very, very clearly and intentionally with the things that you do have. And once you start looking at that, you'll realize how much you own that just does not fit that bill. So it isn't, hey, go get rid of 90% of your stuff. It's go analyze everything. And I think you're going to find that 5% of what you own is what you really need. And so I tell people, if you come in my house, I am not a minimalist, right? I'm a mediumist, right? I've got some of my rooms are full of memorabilia and picture frames and tchotchkes and right, all of that. But I do feel like when my husband and I talk, like, oh my gosh, someday we're going to move out of this house, and I start to think like, oh God, what goes? Ooh, it's even me. It's a little bit like, oh, that's. What am I going to do with all of that? The idea that you might make changes in life through, first and foremost, letting go of your stuff for a lot of people feels like a bridge too far. And I know that we work with people who just have to downsize naturally in life, right? Forget about they're going on the road. They're just going into senior living. They're just downsizing in general, and it's scary.
It is, but what's interesting is everyone reaches a point where they look around, and I say everyone, a majority of people get to some point where they look around and they go, "What was this all for?" Now they might be 88, they might be 66, they might be somewhere in between, but I think we all get to the point where we have that wisdom of it was just stuff. Right. And sometimes they're sad, there's regret and there's shame and all of that around it. And I certainly felt that. I had a great career, I had a great income, I had really pulled myself up. And for someone who came from the roots I did, which I came from very little, I came from two blue collar workers who worked their butts off for a lot of years, and are now, retirement age and they're happy. But there was always this idea of more is more, right? More is going to make you happier. More is going to make you content. And I was really fortunate enough to get to my 40s and have enough life experience behind me to realize, no, that is not the case at all. More comes with more. And for some people, they like it, right? So, no, what I'm doing is not everyone's cup of tea. I do push my clients and friends and family and acquaintances to think about, but what is something that is further out there just outside of your grasp that you can maybe shed some weight and reach for. Right. So when I was going through the minimalism, learning about minimalism and practicing that, it really was constantly asking myself, how might my life be more with less? Simple question. How might it be more with less? I could travel more. I wouldn't have to take a job where I'm not happy. I wouldn't have to worry about a dip in the economy. Right. In 2020, though it was very scary for us to not have roots, to not have a home, to not be by family, we had a different type of freedom. We had already made our lives pretty streamlined. We could afford a dip in the economy. We could afford some time off. That is still a luxury. We know that that's still something that not everyone can reach for. But that really helped us weather a storm that everyone else was in, and we had some peace.
Yeah, I talk about, and I've had an episode on Surfing the Quicksand about this, where I talk about our three currencies in life are time, money, and energy. And choices we make in one around spending or saving impact the others. And to hear someone say, because of choices we made, we have some resilience against a dip in the economy, right? That comes with planning and trade-offs and thoughts around what is it that I want to create in my life, and if some financial resiliency is the goal so that we have a cushion there, what am I willing to trade off in order for me to get there? I do feel like so many of the things that we are living with today are due to making those choices without thought. We don't realize, oh, well, for my energy and my joy, I really like having subscriptions to every single streaming channel. And by the way, it comes out of my bank account, so I don't even really see it anymore. And if somebody were to press me on how much I'm spending each month, I'm not sure I could tell them accurately. Versus, well, let's add that up. And what does that look like over the course of the year? What might that money have done for you differently to fuel a different choice? And by the way, are you watching all those channels? Right. So we do a lot of these kind of forward motions blindly and without intention. And it leads to the consequences of our choices.
Yeah. And it's so easy to do. So I always want to be aware of we are being marketed to on a level our brains can't keep up with, right? And that's intentional from the advertisers. From the companies, from the corporations. And even after, I've been a practicing minimalist now since 2014. And I say practicing always because it's not something you become, it's something you have to practice every day. But I've been doing this since 2014. And even for me now to walk into a Target or to walk into some other store, especially during the holidays, and not be enticed is really challenging. Now, I have the benefit of I have 180 square feet. That is it. So if I want to bring something in, there's only so many places it can go. So for me, I've got kind of that little bit of a switch go, okay, it's not meant for me. So if I'm still struggling, I can't imagine how hard it is for someone who's living that standard sticks and bricks life. It's very easy to make those choices. But what I'll tell people and hopefully encourage people to do is, yes, it's hard to say no to something when everyone else is saying yes to it. But you have to have a practice of being mindful. Okay, but what is it making room for? Right? It's a daily gratitude practice of, yes, I don't have that big comfy couch that I can lounge on the weekends with my family. Right? We live in a very tight space, but I can throw my chairs out, sit outside in a beautiful location, or I can travel to visit friends and family. So it's still, I'm constantly rewiring my brain to not fall into those old habits. And I'll say, we just got done visiting family in Minnesota for a moment in time where we weren't staying in the RV. We were staying in someone's home. We had what we call luxury showers. We had, the couch, the big kitchen, the lots of running water. And to come back into the RV, to assimilate back into our life, was a little uncomfortable, but not for more than a day or two, right? So it's really what becomes normal to us. So if you can jolt yourself out of the rat race, the wheel, if you can just stop and be brave enough to say no to something that you know really doesn't align with your values, it doesn't align with your goals, that's a starting point. And for me, that was in my closet. And again, it's so tiny. It's so tiny. But for me, it was looking in my closet and going, why do I have that many shoes? Right? But I'll peel back that layer. I'll answer that question and then I'll answer the next.
If it's okay, I want to share a personal story I know about you because I think it's a really interesting intersection here, which is you are a Minnesota State Fair fanatic, right? I think it's fair to use that word.
Yes, yes it
You are
is.
there from the day. How many days is the fair?
It's 12 days
Okay,
at the
so
end of August.
you are there every single day. From before sunup to after sundown, you're into the food, you're into the experiences. But what I know about you is you've got a little shoebox that in that shoebox is your State Fair t-shirts, your State Fair earrings, right? Your personal like Mecca tchotchkes that
Yes.
you have made room for in this 180 square feet. And it's a story I tell people around choices, right? We say if you're limited, what's the most important thing that you want to actively make space for and therefore need to say no to the Target trip?
Yeah. It's what adds value, right? What adds value to your life? And I think if you look around, like you said, it's maybe 5%. And I truly believe that that is the case for everyone. Now, our 5% is going to be different, right? I tell the person who loves books, don't get rid of your books if you love books. If you love Christmas decorations, which a lot of people are putting up right now, go for it. If that really adds value and joy, go for it. And so the State Fair is that for me. I say it's my 12 days of maximalism. For sure, but I'll add something else to that observation. A lot of people will go, I don't know how you make time or money for that 12 days. It's so expensive. How do you do it? It's choices. Because it brings me immense joy. It is my happy place. And so yeah, I sacrifice throughout the year in a lot of different ways. So I don't have to sacrifice on the thing that I love, right? So I know it's not everyone's cup of tea,
But it's,
but it is about choices.
yeah. And, but I think for other people, they know what that week is that they would shut down because that's the one week that their whole family gets together on the lake or whatever that is. So people kind of can understand what's the thing I wouldn't sacrifice? And I have to make hard choices throughout the rest of the year, whether that's, sorry, I can't take time off from work for not so important things because I'm really saving that week's vacation, or this is where I'm saving that money. I can't spend it on the second or third, whatever, because it's so important that I save that money because that's airfare. So I think people have a sense of that relatability there of saying, oh, I understand this is really important to you. So it becomes the yes around which drives so many other no's.
Yes. And
I
around,
go ahead.
I find that people can do that around money when they know what it is that they're after. But it's the idea that they have to have something they're after. And I think how this lifestyle opened it up for us was it wasn't one specific thing. Yes, we wanted to move into the RV and travel full time. But it was bigger. It was, we want to be able to weather a layoff. We want to be able to weather, what if one of our family members gets sick? Can we get close to them fast, right? Can we have the freedom and flexibility that we always had hoped for? And so I think it's great to have the one thing that you kind of use as a marker of, oh, that's a priority. But it's hard though, it's still when you have all the inputs coming of everything else. So I almost feel like you have to think bigger of when I'm on my deathbed and I look back, what am I gonna have wanted to make space for? Yeah.
I appreciate that, and that's a concept I'll use sometimes with my organizing clients, and around when they're trying to hold on to things. So, on your deathbed, is this a thing that you're going to say, "I'm so glad that I kept it, and because that meant the world to me"? And for some people, the answer is going to be yes. Now, we happen to be talking a lot about stuff, because it is so critical to how you were able to launch your journey. But I know you're not an organizer anymore. You were in the early days, but now it's really around productivity coaching. So let's talk about that, and who are you working with, and what does that work look like to help people channel the same focus?
Yeah. So I like to say I work with modern professionals. So, individuals who might be in an office, hybrid, or remote environment, they have some agency over how they spend their time, right? So I've been doing this long enough to know that not everyone has that in their career and their profession. But I'm working with people who have an element of flexibility and agency. I really started to ramp up this work around the pandemic, partially because it was hard to work in person with individuals in their homes. But also, I saw this influx of people who said, okay, I can work remotely. Sky's the limit, right? Oh my gosh, I'm going to be so productive and I'm going to be able to work from anywhere, which, of course, I was already doing. Except a lot of individuals who came up in a corporate workforce or in an office didn't necessarily have the skills to work on their own, to be productive on their own. And also there was something else happening with technology, and we're seeing this a lot now, is technology became a clutter in the professional environment as well. More ways to connect meant less intentional meetings, less intentional time to really focus on strategy and being actually productive. And so I kind of using my experience from working in corporate years ago and my experience with working with people with clutter, I kind of combined those two things and said, okay, you want the freedom and flexibility that this remote digital world is promising you. Let me actually help you find it, because just working remotely or hybrid is not going to do it. You actually have to attack it with some strategy and some skills that you probably didn't learn coming up through college and working in corporate.
I think about that. I was doing similar work with people who were transitioning to, I have to, Kathy, I'm working from home and I am definitely not at my best, right? I am not as effective as I was when I was in the office, and I'm not going back anytime soon. So it was for me, I was getting phone calls that was a little bit more problem solving and intervention-y, or like, you got to help me. And we would talk about a combination of, number one, right? What did the old world provide that you took for granted and you didn't even notice anymore? Whether that's systems or structure or relationships or the schedule, right? What was built into being an in-person performer in when everyone else was an in-person performer that you just did not realize was such tremendous scaffolding for you, right? And then we would go through, okay, let's analyze what's fallen apart for you? And it may not be everything. So what is working well? And the thing we'd always hear is, well, I don't have to commute, so I've got 2 hours, 4 hours back to my day, things like that. Or and being able to say, all right, like, so let's analyze what's the time of day, what's the work you're doing, what's that's going well, and what's the part that's not. We really had to dissect things like, all right, is it meetings that are going poorly? Is it your one-on-one alone time where you're supposed to be getting work done? Is it getting your questions answered with urgency that allowed you to not have to interrupt your flow? All of these things that were quality of life in the office that we just could not recreate at home, and say, all right, now that we've got some clues, what are some things we're going to pilot to try and bring her out another working style, a different outcome, a different relationship, a different communication process. It's going to help you feel good about your effectiveness in a hybrid or at-home situation.
Yes. And again, we're being sold a lot of ideas. We're being sold a lot of tools, a lot of technology. This is going to help. You just need this piece. And so I bring that sense of minimalism into my coaching and go, no. How might you be more effective with less? Right? Because over the years, you keep tech stacking.
Yes.
And that's not solving the problem. We have some foundational issues here. So, yeah, I like those questions that you were asking because it gets more to the root of the issue. Where sadly, people came into the pandemic and they go, oh, yeah, finally, I'm going to be productive. I'm at home. I'm not going to have all those distractions. Oh, there's so many distractions at home. And we know that now, right? We know that it's 2025. We can see it a little bit more clearly. But the thing is I still think there is freedom and flexibility with the digital environment the way it is, the modern workforce the way it is. But we're not harnessing it. We're not asking ourselves what is really essential in our work? How can we be more effective versus how can we be busy? And because if you strip away the busyness, just like you strip away the clutter at home, you are now leaving space for more, more time to slow down. That's one of my pillars is slow down, right? Slow down and take inventory of what you have going on around you. Because when we're rushing, which so many professionals do, it's hard to just pause and go, okay, am I just reacting day in and day out? And that's what I hear. I'm sure you've heard that too. So I just feel like I'm reacting all day long and I'm not getting anything done. So there's a lot there. And again, it's still that bravery of you got to be brave enough to slow down and you got to be brave enough to prioritize. But people need to be shown how to do that if it hasn't been modeled for them.
And it's unlikely it's been modeled for them because everybody else is operating under that same construct as well. What I was thinking of around you talking about reactive, and you're absolutely right. I hear about this all the time. And it's what I heard for 20 years as an HR person, people saying, I feel like I can't get in front of everything on my list. I'm just reactive. I'm just reacting. I'm reacting. Our team's reacting, whatever that is. And one of the things I've noticed is we can do lots of work around getting you automating some things, getting things off your plate, deleting, delegating, doing lots of things so that you don't have to be as reactive. And then you're left with time to be proactive. And people find out they don't know how to do that. So it's no longer they don't have time. It's no longer that there are demands for them to focus differently. It's saying, all right, I just gave you 4 hours in this morning. What are you doing with it? And sometimes that can be just as paralyzing for people.
It is. It is. I see that. I do a lot of work around strategic planning for that reason, because you can be efficient, but that it's that space, it's that gap that people don't know what to do with. And it's okay to just appreciate the gap too. It just depends on what your job is. But I think so many times people go, well, I feel like I should be doing something. Oh, there's always something more you should be doing. There's always something more you could buy. There's always something more. I think where you find contentment is not reaching that goal. It's not becoming a minimalist. It's not being productive or, getting to some other finish line. It's truly in knowing that it is a journey, as cliche as that is. It is a journey, but the feeling of being productive is in the moment. It's being content with going, I've done enough, and that's okay, right? Because I do see a lot of people who are incredibly productive who come to me and say, I just still don't feel like I'm doing enough. It's like that this has nothing to do with a tool. This has nothing to do with how you're managing your time. You're doing all of that well. You just are finding a lot of discomfort in the lull, in the slowing down. And that's work that you need to be doing outside of a productivity coach, right? And we see that a lot in organizing and productivity where we can get them to a certain point, and then maybe there's some other inner work that needs to be done.
You know, I'm thinking of, back in your organizing days, I'm sure you can relate to this. If I'm working with somebody and the result of our decluttering is they have an empty cabinet, like a whole empty cabinet in their kitchen, or an entire empty shelf or an empty drawer, that causes discomfort sometimes. Well, I can't, it's not something why should I be okay with that, right? Shouldn't that be a kind of fuel for something else? Shouldn't I be giving it a higher and better use? And it's that same thing about an empty hour or an empty day or an empty week, right? People are that discomfort, whether that's around waste or there can be so many different drivers around that discomfort, but that discomfort is what often holds people back from taking a leap or trying something and saying, nope, didn't like it, undo, undo, undo.
So I get the question a lot of, well, do you blog about your travels, or do you vlog, or are you influencers about that? Oh, people would love that, all the RV parks you've been to, whatever. No. We're not. Because, and that's very intentional. One, that now makes it a hustle. And everything around us is built to be a hustle if we want it to be, right? This what we made these sacrifices so we could truly enjoy our time, so we could be content, right? We could have our professional lives, do great work, leave space for what matters, and enjoy our time. If we instantly are trying to fill that gap with something else, and sometimes that can be as mundane as just taking the perfect picture of the place we're at and posting it, it really takes away from that feeling of being content. And I struggle with that. I've gotten caught up in that even over the course of 7 years of you get into that flow of, oh, I'm going to post and I'm going to get that feedback loop and oh, it's the dopamine and it's great, but you feel less content with what you're doing. So, right. So it's a constant practice of leave the gap, leave the lull, slow down. It's okay. And so it's okay. The happiness is in that space.
Oh, it's so interesting you talk about that because I can see how a natural driver for no pun intended driver, some people who might be full-time RVers are, we are going to create content, either because we can monetize, right? Like we already need to make money because we already gave up the traditional whatever. So making money, if we can make money, shouldn't we? And then the other part of just like, oh, my friends and family just want to know what we're doing. They are cheering us on. They can't do this, but they love that we are. So they want to be taken along for the ride. And so I can see how there can be an expectation from others, people you do know, or just the kind of this industry in general to say, shouldn't you be creating? Shouldn't you be doing more? Shouldn't you be giving up some of this time that you fought so dearly to create for yourself by offering it up in this other channel you aren't choosing for yourself?
Yeah. And boy, Kathy, that can be said in our businesses as well, right? As solopreneurs, there's that pressure of you not only should be serving your clients, but you should be serving people who aren't your clients. You should be appealing to the masses and stretching yourself thin. And I have probably had the most struggle practicing minimalism and being intentional in that way in my business, because there's success is bringing more people in, right? So you want to serve people, you want to speak to people, you want to inspire people, but you have to get them to your front door. And in this attention economy, that gets harder and harder. So I have a love-hate relationship with social media. I love it when I'm sharing things like my love of the state fair. I love it when I'm just capturing some photos of us on the road. But I always say that I practice social media intentionally, which means I'm not going to put out noise just to put out noise so you look at me. I really want to feel like I'm sharing something from my heart. Now, is that a detriment to my business? Probably, right? But that is not just another example of a sacrifice that I have to make to feel good about what I'm doing, right? It's another thing of I'm not going to just be the status quo because that's what I'm told I have to do. Because everything is trying to rob you of your peace if you let it.
It is. And we, the concept of boundaries in the work that we do is so critical, and it can be hard for people to set them, to manage them. But I'm one of those people that I tell people, like, that's my superpower, is setting and managing boundaries. And it's allowed me to do things really kind of full-throated nose to things that I know are not in line with what I want for my life and for my priorities, for my time, my money, my energy. So it's really easy for somebody to approach me and say, "Kathy, I have this idea. I think you'd be great for it." And I'd say, "You know what? That does not make my heart sing, but it sounds great for you. And thank you so much." And I have no problem doing that. I know so many people do struggle with this, but I'm thinking about this idea of when it is our businesses, right? Like, oh, well, growth only comes maybe with some pain and maybe some growing pains, and or how you get forward. I think about this podcast, right? I started a whole podcast where I'm putting out content weekly, because I feel like I got called to share my voice and the voices of people that I know with a very particular audience. But it is possible, because of the other choices I've made in my life, to carve this out, the time, the money, and energy to put this forward. So this is the thing I'm so actively saying yes to right now, because it's become so important to me to put this out in the world right now. I couldn't have done this 2 years ago for lots of reasons. I don't know what 2 years from now feels like, but I know it feels so good right now to know that how I'm making some choices is so in line with what I say right now is a priority.
Yeah, I think the ability to also say this is now, but it's not permanent as well, right? I think, again, that's another benefit of being of Gen X generation, is there's maybe not the social pressure to adhere to every new thing that comes out, every expectation of your time. We're defiant. There's still a lot of defiance in me. So at some point, I think everyone has something they feel called to do. Live in an RV, start a podcast, move across the country, go back to school. What I hope is that women, especially a little older, don't look and go, "I wish I could, but I can't. That's great for you, but not for me." It's okay, but what's good for you, right? What is your thing? It doesn't have to be this. But that ability to say that decision doesn't have to be permanent. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. That's okay. That's part of life. Go for something that you're feeling called to do. And definitely don't wait for permission from other people, because you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. You need to give yourself permission.
Giving yourself permission is such a gift, right? To share with people so that they hear that. And I know, right, as a coach and as an organizer, and I expect you've been in this situation as well, people ask me, well, can I do that? You're asking me? Yeah, listen, I have a job, I have a house, I really, and this isn't me. You ask yourself, can I do this? Right? Ask yourself, and I bet you'll be surprised to hear that you know the answer to that already.
Right.
I want to switch to our quicksand three, the three questions I ask all of my guests, and then we're gonna kind of wrap up and come back because I want people to hear a little bit more about how to work with you and some other information about how they can learn from you. So this conversation has been again so aligned with helping people get unstuck and thinking differently about how they fill their lives. And so that's my quicksand three questions are so aligned with that as well. So the first one is, what is a tip or technique that you use to get yourself unstuck and do something that you've been avoiding?
I learned this from reading a book called Essentialism. So different than minimalism, but the question, and I ask myself this almost every day. All right. So if I'm getting stuck in a task or if I'm just feeling stuck in general, what if I made this easier? That's it. What if I made this easier? Again, I've found that that question gives me permission to simplify. And simplifying is one of my core values. But so often we get in our own way. We dig ourselves down into that hole. And a lot of the times we have only ourselves to blame. So what if I made this easier? What if the decision isn't as hard, as I've made it out to be?
Oh, I love that. And what if I made this easier starts with a presumption that it's possible,
Yeah.
right? Forget about can you do the work to get it? Like, you know what? It doesn't have to be this hard. How do we make that happen? I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, second question. If skills and money and time and history and location were not an issue, what's a job or a career you might have liked to try?
So I love, a lot of people don't know what a movie or television music supervisor does, but essentially they put the soundtrack together for the show you're watching or for the movie. I have always loved that idea of putting a soundtrack to life. So I actually love doing that on reels. I love doing that on Instagram stories and things like that. So that would be the job that I would love to do. I think I'd be very good at it.
That's so cool. That's one of those jobs. I in my career coaching business, I talk with some people about, I call them invisible jobs. Like you have no idea that this is a career, and yet there are people out there that do this every day. I'm like, oh my gosh, it never even occurred to me that's somebody's job. Of course it is. Everything's somebody's job. Final question, and I can only imagine where your answer goes here. What is a way when life gets chaotic that you recharge or hit the reset button?
I don't think you'll be by surprised by this at all. I clean and declutter. So, but this has been me since I was a very little girl. And my mom, when I told my mom that I was going to go into professional organizing 10 plus years ago, she was not surprised at all because I was the little kid who lined up her stuffed animals and had things just so. And then when I became a teenager, I was the teenager who loved to reorganize the room and right, like move furniture around, and I felt such a sense of accomplishment and like it was a brand new day. And then as an adult, I've enjoyed doing that as well. I think our space has a much bigger impact on us than we think it does. And that doesn't just have to mean clutter. That can mean a lot of different things. And so for me, it's clean and declutter every time. Now, it's got to be clean more than declutter because I did hit a point a few years ago where there wasn't much more to declutter. And I was faced with this crisis of how do I de-stress? How do I reset? But there are other things I've kind of picked up where then I might cook a nice meal or something too.
Great. On the other hand, I grew up in a way that my parents and my family and best friends all said, "Really? You're going to be a professional? Like you're going to help other people clean their room?" Huh? For me, I was not what you just described. I was not what you described. But I'm a systems thinker. I can see there's an easier way to go from A to Z than you're doing. I can see your environment is not set up for effectiveness and efficiency. I can see you're making things too hard for yourself. I can see that's not going to fit in the trunk. I don't care how many times you do it. I can see it. So that was my natural path to the organizing productivity space, not the boy, my room is clean, because my room is not clean. This is so great. And I love that. Thank you again for sharing so much of your personal story and how you became a full-time RVer. I tapped you a couple of years ago when Robert and I were planning our we were renting an RV for 2 weeks, and we were doing the big parks and Glacier and Teton and Yellowstone. And I was like, all right, Amy, we got 2 weeks in an RV. Help, what should I know? And you were so generous with kind of giving me your tips and tricks on how to do that, and they made all the difference. And we looked at that as a pilot. Like, let's see, could we even stand it? Because we could walk away from 2 weeks and say, I don't want to be in anything, even with four doors in the future with you, right? So the idea that was such a kind of a fun way for us to explore a different kind of life, and knowing that there are other people who could teach us some tips on how to do it made it all the difference. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Good. So let's talk about Life Done Simply. Let's talk about if people want to learn more about you, about your principles, about your approach to minimalism, any of this.
Yeah, I think the best way to get to know me and my brain and how I approach productivity with a little bit of minimalism is my Mindful Minute. It's a weekly, less than a minute read on my website. You can sign up to get that delivered to your inbox at lifedonesimply.com. I accept virtual coaching clients. I have open slots right now for the beginning of the year through March. But just know that it's my style of coaching and around time management and productivity is not about how do I get more done. It's really about how do I get the right stuff done and how do I harness that freedom and flexibility that technology should be affording every single one of us.
I love that. The right stuff may not be evident to everybody when they start working with somebody, and when they're saying, all I know is I feel like I'm doing the wrong stuff and I'm
Yes.
stuck. Amy, thank you so much for spending time today. I loved spending time with a frolic who I value so much, personally and professionally. And I love being able to get to introduce you to Surfing the Quicksand listeners. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amy has such a unique story and inspiring, but it's only unique in the plot line, right? Like, maybe you're not going to become a minimalist and a full-time RVer and run your business from the road, but maybe there are things you've been dreaming about, or maybe there are ways that you've started to reimagine what your future might look like, but it's hard for you to think about how to shed the status quo and make some of those choices and realign some of those priorities to start to create space for that to be your future. I hope this one inspired you. I know it inspires me when I talk to somebody who's really living life so far on the edge, but did it with just very natural choices and thoughtful choices that I too imagine what my future and my possibility could look like. Thanks so much for spending time today, and I hope it also inspires some conversations between you and loved ones about what your future looks like and what you could make happen.